Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show. My name is Nigel. Hammer is here. We've been seeing anti-Semitic, anti-Israel protests break out all across the country on college campuses. Here even in Indiana, down at Bloomington at IU, we had a few protesters arrested outside the governor's mansion yesterday as well. Covering it all is Breitbart News senior editor-at-large Joel Pollack. Joel, I know you've been to Israel several times since October 7th. You've seen carnage. You've seen worldwide protests. Anti-Israel protest. Have you seen anything in terms of the scale and scope quite like this here in the United States?
No, we haven't, and it's obviously coordinated by several well-funded groups, and we know that there is some George Soros money going into some of these groups, at least one of them, a group that calls itself Jewish Voice for Peace, but is actually a voice for terrorism and has been for a long time. They have supported terror and terrorists. So that's who is organizing this or deeply involved in it. And it hasn't escaped notice that many of the tents are the same, the talking points are the same, the tactics are the same. Our education institutions and our Jewish students are under assault in an organized way. And what I find striking about it is how quiet the Biden administration is about it. We saw that President Joe Biden equivocated. He condemned the anti-Semitism of the protests, but then condemned people who don't listen to the protesters as if they're somehow raising a legitimate grievance that is making these Jewish students so afraid. And we don't hear anything from Merrick Garland or Kristen Clark. Kristen Clark is the head of the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division. You might recall she was confirmed over Republican objections because she had some anti-Semitism questions about her past. When she was at Harvard in the 1990s, she invited an anti-Semitic speaker onto campus and gave him a platform. And that came up in the confirmation hearings. Merrick Garland vouched for her, what a wonderful person she is, et cetera. And she regretted all the things she had done in her past. Well, she's now quiet on this anti-Semitism on campus. And the silence is really deafening. I mean, this is an organized group. It's not just about the education institutions. It's not just about the Ivy League or some bad administrators. This is an organized effort across many states, possibly including some international organization, and it's well-funded. It's a civil rights violation. You know, they charged Trump with conspiracy to interfere with civil rights. That's the charge in one of Jack Smith's cases. This is a conspiracy to interfere with the civil rights of Jewish students. I don't see anybody getting charged or investigated. The Department of Justice is very quiet and unconscionably so.
Well, Joel, here in Indiana, I'm seeing the ACLU put out tweets basically saying to leave the protesters alone. That's the angle and that's the side that the ACLU has chosen. And it feels like it's deja vu from 2020. Right, where they're trying to tell us that a lot of these things are peaceful. There was an NBC reporter that was saying that everything that's happening at Columbia is actually peaceful. There's a lot of similarities happening between now and the Summer of Love.
Yeah, the ACLU ceased long ago to be a civil liberties organization and became a radical left organization. But that NBC reporter went out there and said, oh, yeah, you know, we didn't see any violence at Columbia. And you know, it's so ridiculous because it's like saying that burning a cross on someone's lawn isn't actually violence because nobody was hurt. That's the equivalent. And that's what's happening at Columbia. Basically, they're saying that Israel should be destroyed. They are actually saying explicitly anti-Semitic things. Sometimes Jews who were leaving campus were taunted. Yes, it was outside the gates of Columbia, but it was definitely connected to what was going on. And they were taunted with anti-Semitic chants and things like that. So the fact that Columbia's Orthodox rabbi felt concerned enough to tell students to return home until Columbia had made the necessary security changes tells you that there's something very serious going on here. And NBC, of course, trying to cover up for the far left, says that there's nothing wrong, no violence. You know, this is an exception that is not made for any other minority group.
Right. And if it were a bunch of MAGA hat wearing white guys with tiki torches, like in Charlottesville, I'm willing to bet the media coverage or the ACLU may have a different perspective.
Yeah, at Yale, they tore down an American flag, the anti-Israel protesters. You always know who the pro-Israel protesters are because they're the ones waving the American flag. The anti-Israel ones are the ones burning the American flag or tearing it down. So they tore it down at Yale. And I saw a funny but sadly true comment, which is that if conservatives had torn down a rainbow flag or a progress pride flag, you know, one of the LGBTQ flags, there would have been investigations and suspensions and arrests, but you can just tear down the American flag and it's just another day at Yale.
Breitbart News senior editor at large, Joel Pollack, here on the Hammer and Nigel show. Please tell me you're seeing some pushback here. Are there pro-Israel demonstrations going on? Is there anybody in the public? I did see Robert Kraft, owner of the Patriots, pull his funding from his alma mater there at Columbia.
Well, people are voting with their feet. I mean, Harvard, which has been at the epicenter of this as well, saw a decline in its applications. And people are deciding not to apply to some of these schools. They're going to lose Jewish students. They're going to lose serious students who just don't want to have their education disrupted by this kind of nonsense. There have been some pro-Israel counter demonstrations. Yesterday at Northwestern University, which is near where I grew up, there were some pro-Israel protesters who stood there with an Israeli flag. And they had an American flag, too, that was stolen by the anti-Israel protesters and not returned. But, you know, in general, people who support Israel have other things to do with their lives. They have jobs. They have exams to study for. They have things to live for. They have families to take care of. Israel and the United States are societies that are successful, where people work hard and they get ahead and they innovate. And the Palestinian national movement has not been successful because it is obsessed with its own grievances and doesn't build anything or do anything positive. And unfortunately, we have an element of that in our own society and the political left, where people just live for these confrontations with authority but don't actually do anything. So you've got these misguided, sometimes evil, but often just lost kids in these encampments thinking that they're doing something. And they're sitting outside miserable at Harvard. I mean, this is my favorite story of the week. At Harvard, they were drenched by the automatic yard sprinklers that went on overnight.
Yeah.
But, you know, these are kids who are not successful. They're not happy. Protesting doesn't make you happy in this way. You know, we have this romanticization of the civil rights movement and the 60s anti-war protests. And that's because I think there was an element of the counterculture that went along with some of these protests that did make them fun. Woodstock was fun. The Summer of Love was somewhat fun in San Francisco in 1967, that kind of thing. Berkeley was fun in 1964, the free speech movement. But long ago, when these causes lost their motivation, they also lost their fun. And these people who are camping out, they're not happy. Many of them have
miserable
billions
people.
Of different pronouns. They can't figure out what gender they are. They can't figure out, you know, anything about their lives. And they're sitting there on the grass while the other students, the pro-Israel students or just the indifferent students, are going to class and finishing their semester and getting ready for summer jobs. So this is a sign of the disintegration of a whole generation that is basically being brought up on radical confrontations with authority, but not actually building anything in themselves.
Finally, before we let you go, Joel Pollack from Breitbart here on the Hammer and Nigel show. We've had a week or two to assess what exactly happened between Israel and Iran, the unprecedented attack, Iran directly sending suicide drones and missiles into Israel, and then the Israel response. What's going on there now? It seems like it's quieted down a little bit. How did you assess that whole situation?
Well, I think Israel wanted to respond in a more aggressive way. They wanted to go after the Iranian nuclear program and possibly targets representing the Iranian regime. The U.S. put pressure on Israel not to do that. And there were voices in Israel who thought, you know what, we won this round. Let's finish the job in Gaza with Hamas. Let's focus on the threat of Hezbollah. So they responded in a way that let the Iranians know that they could target the nuclear program, but they weren't doing so this time. So they knocked out some of the air defenses and things like that. And I think Iran is basically defenseless when it comes to air defenses. They rely on these Russian systems that the Israelis know how to evade. And it was a warning from Israel to Iran saying, listen, we know how to get to you. You can't really get to us. You fired 300 things at us. We knocked them all down. And we can get to you, and you won't even know it. So I think it was an effective rushback by the Israelis, and now they have to focus on getting rid of Hamas and hopefully getting the hostages back.
How close is Israel to doing that?
It's hard to say. You know, as we're speaking now, there are all kinds of different contradictory reports coming out about whether Israel is going to go into Rafah, the last Hamas stronghold in Gaza, whether Israel isn't going to do it, whether there's going to be a hostage deal or not. So I don't really know, and we probably won't know anything until next week where things become a little bit clearer. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is going there. They're probably going to hold off on doing anything until he's there on Tuesday. So we'll see what happens. But I do think that Israel is going to go in, if I had to guess, because Israelis are determined to win the war. And I think that determination is going to override everything else.
He's Joel Pollack, senior editor at large for Breitbart.com. Find all his work at Breitbart.com. Thank you so much, Joel. Have a great weekend.